to Pearl Lamp Podcast. Today I am in Paris and I'm in this really beautiful old building, and this building is L'École School of Jewelry and Art, and they have just newly moved here, and I would like to introduce Elise Gonnet-Pode to give us a background of the school.
Thank you, Pearl, and welcome. Welcome to this new venue of L'École, the School of Jewelry Arts, where we are at the moment together. It's a preview for you, because we're going to open in the spring this new destination of jewelry culture in Paris. We've been established in Paris in 2012 to share about jewelry culture at large, from antiquity to contemporary artists, looking at jewelry as a universal language in all civilizations and culture. To do so, we have a very wide array of programs, starting with courses in the universe of gemstones, history of jewelry and craftsmanship. We have talks, conversations, which are held in person or online. We have as well exhibitions dedicated to jewelry. And we very recently launched a podcast called The Voice of Jewels.
So what is this podcast about?
This podcast is about jewelry. The first chapter is around love jewelry.
When you say love jewelry, what do you mean?
Sentimental jewelry, I would say. And we have different episodes in French and English, and it's already very well received. And here is in this new building of Merci Argenteau. It's a historical Parisian mansion from the 18th century, which has never been open to public. So we are getting ready for that. And not only will we offer here exhibitions in a larger space compared to our current campus behind Place Vendôme, but also courses, conversations, and two venues dedicated to books, as books in today's digital world, we consider book is still a very relevant way of sharing jewelry knowledge. First of all, we have many publications at L'École, thanks to our research department and around all our exhibitions. We'll have a bookshop called L'Escarboucle, that's a French word meaning red gemstones, dedicated to jewelry. The first bookshop fully dedicated to jewelry in Paris. So precious metals, gemstones, minerals, jewelry history and decorative arts, and one library, the first and largest library in Europe dedicated to jewelry with 10,000 books. We'll have three salons in this building, open to public by appointment, with eight seats for researchers to come and work, researchers, designers, anyone who wants to come and study, guided by our librarians here, will be very welcome. So we are very much looking forward to opening the second venue in Paris, while the original venue will be revamped and we'll have a surprise maybe for another episode to talk about.
So beautiful. What is interesting is, let me share with the audience, is L'École is a school, not just a simple school, but they managed to get craftsmen who are supposed to you call it transmission, right?
Yes.
You pass from generation to generation. And they managed to get these craftsmen to share the knowledge, to share the craftsmanship with everyone, with all the students who's interested to make jewelries. And I think the world has changed, because I think craftsmen, families, children, they do not necessarily want to be a craftsman. And how do you manage to persuade all these craftsmen to share those knowledge?
Jewelry has long been a very secretive world, maybe intimidating for some. You know, traditionally, one would become a jeweler or a stone setter because or a polisher because his father, his mother was
yes,
working
absolutely.
in a workshop, and this was like the natural continuation of the family tradition somehow. While today the profession is welcoming young talents from all backgrounds, and we believe opening the doors of jewelry to everyone is really critical to make sure that the beauty of jewelry, its significance in all cultures, civilizations, is really the key to continuing the transmission in the next generations.
Now everybody is teaching online. You know, you do courses online, you do Zoom, you do all these things. Why do you need such a big physical space?
Well, we believe that hands-on and in-person learning, you know, from human being, from
your craft,
human being, you know, there is so much you can, of course, observe on a beautiful video, you know, of a craftsman's hand, maybe setting a gemstone or polishing metal. But the understanding that you get and the yes, the experience, the emotion from trying, you know, for yourself and looking at gemstones for yourself cannot be replaced by the online experience. This is why we are, you know, still very committed to in-person learning, you know, in-person transmission. And when you visit an exhibition, to look for yourself at the piece. Of course, in the recent years that the world went through, digital really helped to still stay connected and to still learn and have some different kind of education. And even at L'École, this is when we started our online talks and conversations that we still offer, you know, every month. But this wouldn't be our only way of transmitting the jewelry culture.
Yeah, of course, when you look at the jewelries and see how it sets, it's very difficult to translate.
And this is very sensual. Yeah. You know, jewelry is something one would wear on your skin or on your
absolutely,
clothes.
I understand.
So you can't completely disconnect from that very sensual.
It needs to be more personal than
that's very personal. Yes, jewelry is probably the most personal form of art with couture maybe. But yes,
L'École is a school that attracts people or students to become a designer or just to get the knowledge, or they want to become a craftsman. What is the objective of them doing it? Of course, we all know that, you know, it's very sad that craft is losing its way, and sometimes the craft is completely lost because there's no one to pass it, transmitting it, pass it on. But what is the main objective of having the school? Because, you know, you want to cultivate interest in craft, or you want to have a new stable of craftsmen, a new stable of jewelry designer?
Well, actually, our main purpose is really to have an audience as wide as possible from all ages and backgrounds to appreciate jewelry as a form of art, first of all. So we are here to, you know, help everyone to discover or rediscover what jewelry is, from, you know, antique civilizations to contemporary artists. And we do that through different ways of introduction. Then for our students who aim, you know, to become a jeweler, a jewelry designer, after understanding better, thanks to our program, what it is all about, then we can indicate them which professional school they can go to for a diploma.
Yeah, because you did say that this is a foundation course. This is a basic foundation course.
Exactly.
But when you say the jewelry as art, I completely disagree with this.
Oh, because is that so?
Because no, because you know, art is many forms. Definitely, it's not fine art.
It's decorative art.
Yeah, decorative art. Absolutely. Definitely agree. Because decorative art is using handcraft.
Yes.
And all that. So when you say that it is a foundation course, so people come in, they learn about, because a lot of people, they want to, they love jewelry, so they want to learn more about jewelry, not necessarily they want to be a profession.
That's right. And they want to understand better their own collection or to, find ways of looking at the gemstones, of looking at a piece, of looking at the craftsmanship. And very often, you know, after attending one of our courses, then they would look at their own piece or they would look at an exhibition, at a creation in a different way, from the front, from the back, understanding what setting means, what polishing or all the techniques involved.
I think strategically, you all has done a fantastic thing, because Hong Kong is the biggest jewelry market in the world. So having that, and every ladies love jewelries. So then,
and not only ladies.
I know. I have men friends who's been collecting stones, jewelries, and everything. Absolutely right. Right. Unfortunately, they can't wear it. They will give to the wife to wear it and take it back. But you're absolutely right. So it's really interesting that who are the students who's actually coming, especially in Asia.
We have art lovers. We have art addicts. Cultural savvy people. We have families as well coming. We have collectors. We have young graduates who wish to choose, their next step for their career. So it's very diverse. And also we see that depending on the exhibition topic that we showcase, the audience can change. In Hong Kong last year, we had a beautiful exhibition. We showcased a collection of men's rings. So there were all belonging, a few hundreds, of them. Many of them in silver, so, you know, bikers, rings or memento mori. So it shows that jewelry at large is very eclectic, and that the most important is probably not whether the material is precious or not, whether it features gemstones or not. It's an ornament, a talisman, it's a meaning, because one would always remember, be it in a very ancient culture or in contemporary times, you know, in any continent, any civilization, there is jewelry, there is ornament. This is the very first form of art, you know, as per the archaeological findings, the first thing we found were jewelry ornaments.
One of the very interesting things that I would really love to talk to you about today is about craft.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm very interested in craft, and what I know, what I understand is there's only two countries in the world they celebrate craftsmanship. They put craftsmen as master. One is France, one is Japan. So all other countries around the world, we don't give the necessary respect to craftsmen. So how would you encourage the world? Because without craftsmen, when they pass their craft, generation to generation, so what they are passing through is not just a craft, but a legacy. And it's a legacy and a heritage of their culture. And I find that in China, as such, is we are losing that fair, you know, really great culture, because many of the young people, they don't want to be a craftsman because they're not respected, right? But whereas here and in Japan, they're like master, they are celebrated, not just respected. How would you encourage, you know, all these different old culture about preserving craft?
Well, to answer your question, I would say by education. And this is where l'école can help and support. I'm a very big fan of an initiative called Homo Faber by the Michelangelo Jello Foundation, which preserves craftsmanship. And its director, actually Roberto Cavalli, once said, and this is a sentence I always remember and repeat, that the enemy to beauty is not ugliness, it's ignorance. And I think it's
absolutely so right.
True.
Yeah, so true.
And this is where I believe l'école, you know, humbly can contribute wherever it is established or traveling in the world to showcase the beauty of the craftsmanship. And, you know, in Hong Kong, we had a beautiful exhibition which then traveled here in Paris called Golden Treasure. And this showcased an amazing private collection of Chinese gold ornaments. For some of them, they dated back to 3,000 years ago. And it shows how refined the craftsmanship of gold was in ancient China. And this was extremely inspiring for contemporary visitors. You know, we had visitors here in Paris from China who were so moved by seeing this. So by showcasing, you know, such pieces to the general public, this is how, by developing the knowledge, that we can probably encourage the next generations to go for learning crafts and perpetuating these crafts, while of course being very aware of the contemporary environment.
I always see art as a cultural bridge, but then you told me that jewelry is a cultural bridge. I can't agree with you. So can you explain to me your point of view?
We probably agree in a way that jewelry is a form of art, of decorative art.
I mean, of course it is a form of decorative art, because there's so much. I mean, it's about creativity, it's about you know, using your hand, creating this, you know. It's very different when you have a hand-finished product than your machine-finished product. The patina, the handcraftment, even little imperfection is beautiful.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but you say that jewelry is a cultural bridge. I can't see how jewelry is a cultural bridge as such.
There is a jewelry culture in...
Everywhere.
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 That's... That's what I mean. Jewelry is a jewelry piece is a message. It conveys, when you look at a jewelry piece, you can feel an emotion. It conveys something. It's jewelry are very symbolic. When they are offered to a loved one, when they are part of a legacy, they can be very symbolic. Also, historically, when you look at, you know, we were having last week a lecture with some of the researchers from the Collège de France. It's an institution supporting a lot of cultural initiatives and. We studied jewelry represented in the historical paintings, and you could observe how some jewels were passed on, you know, from one European court to the other, and they were represented in the official portraits. So be it you know, a sentimental jeweler that someone would offer or to a loved person or to an heir, or be it something acquired, you know, that's a regalia, and it can be very symbolic in that way. Then it can be very symbolic in some cultures because of the material, because of the technique.
I agree to a certain extent, is because I agree in the aesthetic value, because when I see Indian jewelry, which I like, old
yes.
Indian jewelry,
the kundan,
the
yes.
aesthetic is very different than, of course, the Chinese one. The Chinese is completely, because I collect a lot of peacock feather, kingfisher feather.
Yes.
Jewelries, which is this blue. And then when you look, I recently went to Africa. I love all those African beads. So all
yes.
those aesthetic aesthetically, it is different. So doesn't mean that I'm Chinese, I've been educated abroad. I would not appreciate that. I love the differences of culture because of
the beauty of drawing.
Of the difference aesthetic as such. Yes. So with that, I understand that, yes, maybe there's a cultural bridge because it's the appreciation of and of a different culture. But Nini people is not as open-minded because I love different cultures. So it's very hard that if you only decided that because you're conditioned to see certain design sign juries, they could not accept the other one. So it cannot form that bridge as such.
Well, this is why we try to open the perspective and to open the jewelry world to everyone through our programs. We have one course called Around the World in Jewelry, where we present jewelry and ornaments in all continents to really encourage to have that kind of perspective and to probably rethink the way we look at the notion of preciousness. And
do you believe that when you are, when you're living in a country, when you stay in a city,
yes.
So your eyes are conditioned to certain aesthetic, right? So if there's anything which is different from what you see, your immediate reaction will say that, oh, it's ugly. Oh, it's not. Is it immediate? Because you're not used to that aesthetic. So culturally, then you reject this culture because you're so used to A, and then when B comes along, and you say, it's not great.
To me, is really to encourage open-mindedness, and this is what we try to do at L'École, is to present the wide eclecticism and diversity of what jewelry is. And then this is very personal, probably like a form of art that one would appreciate or not. Education and knowledge are the solution.
Don't you think that, we live in a world where there is really strong Western influences? You open a magazine, it's all the advertisement of all this jewelry brand. So our eyes, it's actually we being conditioned. So anything that we judge, we are using that aesthetic for value to judge on what is beautiful and what is not. It's very hard now after you've been conditioned from the beginning, from when you're born, you look at magazines. It's not just in France or in Europe or in America, but in the whole of Asia, we're used to that. Of course, in some of the countries, like in India, they have your Indian jewelry. You have it. In Thailand, you have their own craft, so they give a different aesthetic. But mostly, we are following the Western appreciation of aesthetic. So we are conditioned.
Well, humbly, what we are trying to do at L'École is really to showcase all types of jewelry and differences, to show that they are beautiful and that there is it's really worth discovering all the world heritage of jewelry. This is probably why, when it was showcased in Paris, the Golden Treasures exhibition showcasing Chinese treasures was the most popular among the Parisian audience. This is opening the world of jewelry in all its dimensions that we can probably encourage a more universal look.
That's great because my favorite line have been always been applying Western domination of culture.
No, the more we launch research projects, the more we meet collectors. I think the more humbling it is Of course, France, for instance, with the Place Vendôme, is one of the world,
jury concentration.
Jury concentration.
Yeah.
But there are there are many that we discussed
of course,
about.
Of course.
And if you look, for instance, in Singapore, they have at the Asian Civilizations Museum a fantastic jewelry gallery where you discover jewelry crafts, from Java, from Borneo, from many islands and countries, and this is endless. That's fantastic, and what we are looking forward to doing is to showcasing more all this beautiful diversity and
diversity,
of jewelry, because that's
actually all this
an endless topic of study.
And actually all this is encouraging people to be more open-minded.
Absolutely.
And then what are the crafts that has been lost, especially in France, that we cannot recover?
One craft I know of in jewelry is the gold lace. It was a very specific technique, which was popular until the 1950s, to my knowledge. And then the fashion and the style,
the taste changed.
So there was no longer any demand for that, and the jewelers, went to, they developed...
Extinguished.
Yes, or they simply created other types of jewelry and techniques because that particular feature and style was no longer... probably at the time, even in France, where, as you said, there is this appreciation for craftsmanship and to protect the craftsmanship, sometimes or probably in these decades, it was not yet so much a focus.
Then could you find this craft, let's say, in Italy or in China or in Bangkok? Bangkok is very good in doing gold.
Yes, yes.
And India as well. Can't you find all that same craftsmanship?
Not
similar.
To my knowledge, maybe it exists, but what's fantastic, and we see that at L'École, we have since 2017 a department of research, and they work with universities and
right.
researchers on all kind of jewelry-related topics. So this is exactly what we can work on. And at the moment, actually, and this is probably what I should have shared first, is that we have a great research project on a Celtic torque. We today don't know anymore what is the technique which was used to create this torque. So with a group of researchers and scientists, we are trying to recreate one and to, through this process, to actually find out what the craftsmanship was. So once we know, we'll keep you posted and we'll have a whole publication and capsule exhibition around that. Research and really to try to bring back the craftsmanship, to understand it and see how we can revive it. So this is, in a way, part of our research approach.
So you have a school in Shanghai, and you have a school in Hong Kong, and you have a school, going to have a school in Dubai.
Right.
So all these other countries, including France, mm-hmm. you have different craftsmen, right? So do they do the same thing or do they do different? And so do you take exchanges to come to different part of your, different school, and then they create a different course?
Well, we have one curriculum which is the same for all our campuses and also the traveling schools that we can have in Japan or in the Americas. Having said that, especially through the exhibitions or various programs, we can have... a local resonance, and thanks to collectors, institutions, researchers from all over the world, we can have a cross-cultural dialogue related to jewelry.
Another big question I need to discuss with you is, in Asia especially, they love gemstones. The stones, defrauded stone, pink diamond, intense yellow, whatever, it's all about stones. Now, I always thought that stones is completely, we give values to a stone. If today we don't consider a diamond is anything but just something thing for an airplane machine, so it doesn't mean anything. Mm. So I always thought that what makes jewelry wonderful is the design and the craftsmanship. Now, I would really like to hear your point of view. Of course, you know, stones, as we just discussed, you have cuts, right? Now, and now multifaceted cut, of course, now is done in India. And then you have the Belgium cut, and then Russia is banned now. Mm. But isn't that most important is about a design? With a design, and then you have the craftsman, which makes it really amazing. You know, it's like jar, you know, jars sometimes use really, sometimes even crystals they use, but it's the design that makes it.
The design and the craftsmanship change everything.
Yeah.
When we talk about jewelry, we talk about gemstones, indeed. Yeah. I agree. Gemstones, you know, there are the diamonds, of course, the colorless diamonds. Yeah. And then there are all the other wide array of gemstones. And what we try to convey through the schools and our programs is maybe to change perspective when we look at gemstones. Not only, indeed, as you mentioned, to look at the number of carats or commercial value, or, but to really, first of all, have our students hold a stone, look at a gemstone, look at an inclusion, maybe appreciate the beauty of an inclusion, understand where it comes from. Because in gemstones, there is maybe a dimension of eternity. You know, they were formed millions of years ago and they will probably be passed on to a generation. So in that regard, maybe it's a story of transmission too. And when you study the history of jewelry in a different civilizations and periods of time, you can understand or different areas of the world that the same gemstone would not have the same meaning, that the color of the gemstones can convey a different message. That, for instance, pearls would be in a Renaissance for young ladies, or even for some kings who were wearing in the late Middle Ages. Yeah. Pearls we really try to open the mind and to look at gemstones only as one dimension of jewelry to ornate a design. The exhibition that we currently have in Dubai around emeralds shows the rough gemstone, the cut gemstones, and examples of beautiful pieces featuring emeralds which have been either cut, engraved, faceted, and then set on a design beautifully mounted. So it really shows how the art of jewelry, the design, the craftsmanship transforms, you know, nature's treasure into a piece of art you can wear.
Because for me, is the design is the creativity.
It is.
Yeah,
yes.
And the craftsman is the details of the hands and how you create and how do you make into reality an exquisite design. So stone is only a supplementary thing. But obviously in the jewelry world, stone is number one. Everything is a design, you know, or design, craft is not as valuable as a stone. But then you look at some, and you know, some of the brands, I want to draw again, jars, because jar is the only brand that have a museum show in the Met. And when you see that, then everything that I thought is right should be right. It's not about the stone, it's about the design, it's about the craftsmanship. The craftsmanship for me is really important.
Probably there is today a lack of understanding on how much time is involved in a craftsmanship of the jewelry piece making, and there are many contemporary artists, designers, or historical houses who propose, and this is what you can experience at L'École when you are for 2 or 4 hours behind the workbench, and when you realize how long it takes just to do one very single step, then you understand that a piece can take a few hundreds or a few thousand hours of handcraft, right, to be completed. So this is why indeed jewelry is not only about gemstones at all, but it's about human hands combined.
Of course, because this craft, and because I'm also very interested in today's young people, the 3D printing jewelries, because I thought, this is my you know, I thought every design is evolving within our contemporary lifestyle, our contemporary culture. And of course, jewelry in the past is only for the aristocrat or the very wealthy families. But today we have jewelries, which is now jewelries can be worn by all the young people so they can afford to buy it. And technology technology is very important. So now we have technology versus craft. My dream
what is your dream, Pearl?
To have a 3D print, but then using craft to carve out the 3D printer and set it.
Ah.
So it's a combination with the both. And it will be, I mean, that's representing what we are talking about. We cannot deny technology, but we have to embrace craft. So I thought that is something that maybe you can encourage your student in.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's really, because I think the creativities should not just limit it to one material.
No,
we
not at all.
We should use everything to create something new.
Jewelry is not only something which has to be made with precious material.
No,
and at L'École, this is something we are trying to convey as well.
Yeah.
That any talisman, any ornament, and we have a course about talismans and amulets, show that the notion itself of preciousness is very much related to a moment of time or a fashion or one vision or one angle, but a pendant made of a simple shell can be very precious to you because it means, it was given to you or by someone you love or because it's a memory. Yes, it's there is this relativity in a way.
I always remember one thing really struck my mind was a 1930s Cartier in wood. Just wood, but set with diamonds in it. I thought it was really special because it's nothing fancy, but just wood.
Yes, if you look at jewelry around the world, this is also something we look
because
at.
Something is different. It's not loud, but something.
Yes.
I love everything a little bit quirky. And what I think, in this world now, what you are doing is amazing. Preserving craft, spreading, encouraging the world, actually, to preserve craft. If you don't preserve craft, we could not preserve our legacy and our heritage.
There is jewelry craftsmanship everywhere in the world.
And it's all very different.
And it's all very different. And through art history, jewelry history courses, this is what we try to convey, to encourage really the general public to look at jewelry as a form of art, of decorative art, and to appreciate all dimensions of jewelry, be it the material, the metal, the gemstones, the symbolism behind the
multicultural.
Yes.
Elise, when is the opening of these new facilities?
We are opening in spring. And we are very excited as the inaugural exhibition is dedicated to stage jewelry.
So it's costume jewelries.
Yes. We were touching on earlier on what is precious, what is not precious. And stage jewelry from Comédie Française, the French National Theatre collection, is exhibited here. And it's very interesting. Interestingly, non-precious materials, so mostly imitation gemstones, colored glass or non-precious metals, but crafted in the same way as high jewelry would be crafted, because it was meant to be seen from afar, by the audience and worn by the actors and actresses on stage.
How wonderful.
So yes,
we
are showcasing a jewelry which doesn't have to be precious the way we look at preciousness today, maybe, but precious because of their history, because of who were the actors and actresses who wore it, and because of the workmanship behind.
A must-visit exhibition. Hey, after watching this episode, I'm sure that there will be many interested parties who wants to know more and more about the school, and who wants, maybe they want to be going online or visiting here. How do they find, can you give any contact or information for people to know more about the school?
Yes, of course. We have our website, l'école Van Cleef & Arpels .com, and all our campuses around the world where people can come in person and have information to register to all our programs.
Thank you, Elise. So great to be here. Thank you for allowing us to film this, to have this podcast film here.
Very glad to welcome you and your team, Pearl.